You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm Gaius, live from Londinium, and a beautiful spring evening. Germanicus is here. The centurions, retired men, are drinking heavily tonight because why not? The wine is sweet. It's a beautiful spring night. They survived 20 years in the service of Rome, and they're well-financed and have beautiful farms here in Londinium at the edge of the empire. We will speak about edges of the empire tonight. Germanicus is here, and we're going to address a large topic in the 21st century, something that may be uncomfortable for the assumptions that America is winning. The question at hand right now is another war in Eurasia, and we address that by saying the war started quite some time ago, but the kinetic part of it, a repeated campaign, began in these last days, Israel ostensibly going after the suspect nuclear weapons program, but the first night and several nights since then, it looks like decapitation strikes, meaning that to repeat the success of the defeat of Hamas and the defeat of Hezbollah would be to take down the leadership and then deal with the remnant that is disorganized and without strong guidance. Germanicus, a very good evening to you. I mentioned that we recently have been talking much about the struggle in Ukraine against the Russian aggression and how the refusal of Ukraine to negotiate or concede or recognize its presence and its relationship to NATO is making the war very difficult for NATO with a big meeting coming up in July. However, I also mentioned that Ukraine-Russia is only one of several conflicts in the Eurasian supercontinent, the world island. To name them, and some of them are subsets, we have Ukraine-Russia, we have Israel-Hamas, we have Israel-Hezbollah. We certainly have, well, it's quite difficult to say one person is against Syria as it was. But Syria is now a conflict of several zones going in different directions. And then, of course, the struggle against Al-Qaeda, which has elements all through the Middle East, jihadists everywhere, including the man who claims to be president of Syria. The World Island subset has ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Africa, East Africa, West Africa, the Sahel, Congo. And Uganda recently, ISIS suicide attack failed in Uganda. And then we have the conflict that you'd have to say is freshly underway, Israel against Iran. In Asia, we have North Korea participating in the Russian efforts against Ukraine. But at this point, we just don't know about North Korea and South Korea. There's been an election that favors North Korea. There could be a conflict forthcoming. And then the long-standing dispute between the United States and China over Taiwan, which is not kinetic, but everything up to it, in fact, the predicate of kinetic right now. That's enough. I don't need to break them down any more than that. There are Eurasian wars across the map. The question I put to you is the U.S. involvement in these Asian wars. Following Mackinder, the geographer who favored the British Empire 100 years ago, we are outside the world island. We are the edges of geostrategic thinking, and that our power is our navy. We have a continent, and we possess it, and there's no challenge to it. Our navy can project power, as we see with the carriers in the Gulf, in the Red Sea, in the Arabian Peninsula. But that is dangerous for us, perilous. And repeatedly over the last 20 or 30 years, it's been demonstrated that our carriers do not assert an authority that lasts, hence Afghanistan, hence Iraq, hence maybe even right now we're witnessing Israel. I don't know. We got into Israel's support. I think you'd have to say Truman started it, but Eisenhower, when he sent the carriers into the Med during the attempt by the British and the French and others to take over the canal.
Israel.
Yes, yeah. Others, lots of others.
Hello.
Yes, you'd say that we got into the Gulf, we got into the Med under Eisenhower, and we've never entirely left it, but we're not very successful, at least to measure for the last 20 years. So, question I put to you is, this isn't about isolationism. This is a question about, do we have the authority, the hardware, the will to project power into a continent where Mackinder says we can stay out? Good evening to you, Germanicus.
Good evening, Gaius. The Roman, that is to say, our approach to sea power is straightforward. We needed to control the Mediterranean. We did after defeating the Cilician pirates around the time of the Servile Wars with Spartacus. And since then, it's been what later Americans would call free security. And the Roman Navy in our time has shifted its center of gravity to the Rhine and the Danube. We have warships, squadrons going up and down, and squadrons in the North Sea. Now, the problem for Britain when Mackinder was writing was that Britain had to, and he was writing around the turn of the century, so that at that point Britain was being outmaneuvered by the Russian Empire. Britain always based its sea power on controlling the Mediterranean and what were called the Western approaches, which was the key to the Atlantic. If it could do both of those, then it basically could send out gunboats around the rest of the world, or second-class ironclads, and basically have total maritime supremacy. What Russia was doing, however, in 1900 was building fleets, the premier fleet being in the Far East, and suddenly Britain's position was very tenuous. And this continued, and what Mackinder was saying essentially was that if Russia was to get into the heart of Europe, then it would dominate everything. And, Russia did get into the heart of Europe in 1814, and it got into the heart of Europe again under Stalin, the man of steel, in 1945. But it never was able to turn that advantage into anything like dominance. And the fact is that as a retort, as a reply, and I think a complete condemnation of Mackinder, Nicholas Spykman, the great American geopolitician who was writing at Yale in the 1930s and early 40s, had a very different idea of an American space, one that would be absolutely unassailable through sea power. And in his calculus, his equation, sea power could essentially dominate the world as long as the U.S. controlled the rimlands. Mackinder gave short shrift to the rimlands, meaning all the area around the world island. Whereas Mackinder said, Spykman said, if you use sea power, to be in a position to leverage the Rimlands, you will be completely safe and secure. And I think that is the pathway for the U.S. today. The U.S. cannot dominate Eurasia. Already you have the BRICS, which include Russia, India, and China, plus Iran and others, have created a kind of Eurasian mass that the U.S. really can't dominate. And our ineffectual effort to dominate the Middle East, I believe, is ending. And so it's best for the U.S. to look to the kind of spikeman strategy in which we would oppose the world island with what we already have, which is pretty majestic, and that would be the European Union, the entire Western Hemisphere, Australia, Japan, and Korea, and some other outliers, but that would essentially be the American realm, and we wouldn't have to bother with the boogeyman of Eurasia. In other words, spikeman, I don't think, operates today effectively.
Ukraine and Russia. The negotiations right now don't really exist. Both sides have delivered maximum demands on their memos. We're told that the G7 coming up and then the meeting of NATO in Europe is going to address whether or not to sustain Ukraine for another year. It looks now as if the hawks have the loudest voice, and they will. At the same time, The additional new war in Eurasia, Iran, introduces the suggestion that working with Russia is necessary. Suggestion. Certainly the
president. It's more than a suggestion, because in the last couple of days, Mr. Putin and Mr. Trump have spent an hour on the phone. So obviously there is a connection.
You identify what I find fetching, because according to the readout, they spend more time on Iran than they did on Ukraine. Begin to see Ukraine as, well, it's like a Balkans war in 1911, riding around with their beautiful white horses, and as a predicate to the big war that was coming, but not vital for, at the time, for any of the powers. Does Ukraine present a vital piece of the puzzle, or is Ukraine something that no longer works for the powers, is the question.
Well, if you look at Russia from, again, Mackinder's standpoint, if you want to be atavistic about it, Russia has been pushed way back. Russia was much further into Europe under the Tsars. It controlled much of Poland, including Warsaw, and now it's been pushed way back. Even Stalin's Russia before World War II had more territory in Ukraine. My sense is that there's no reason that we should be fighting over Ukraine. And in fact, Russia today is as a big power. I mean, it's a very powerful state, but it has a much smaller population than it did at the height of the Soviet Union, when Russia was actually bigger in terms of population than the United States. Today, Russia is about half the population of the U.S., and that's being charitable. You'd have to include Belarusia and Kazakhstan. I mean, Russia is, it's not the kind of power that is going to threaten Europe. And it merely seeks to be a part of the kind of European order. And so I think we were chasing a will-o'-the-wisp in geopolitical terms.
Let me try
by trying to bring down Russia.
Let me try a quick analogy that you just suggested to me. Germany invades Poland September 1939. 2 weeks later, Russia invades Poland, Soviet Union. 1939. Britain is under extreme assault through 40, once the phony war turns hot, invasion of the Low Countries. Churchill comes back in after the Norway fiasco, where he does not get blamed for his plan. But in any event, he comes back in. At this point, Britain is expecting an invasion, Operation Sea Lion, at any moment. The summer passes of 1940. They survive. And now the question is, do we ignore that Soviets invaded Poland and make a deal with them? And the answer is, yes, we do. Does that look like bloody-minded enough for President Trump and President Putin to ignore the invasion of Ukraine, make a deal, and turn their attention to the Middle East?
Well, you brought up one of the great volt faces of the 20th century. I mean, Britain and France, during the Winter War, where the Soviets invaded Finland, Britain and France were ready to strike at the Soviet Union's oil infrastructure in Baku. They had air forces ready to bomb. So, but then they turned around under Churchill and suddenly, our allies, the Soviets, and Britain was expending extraordinary energy and effort to resupply the Russians through Murmansk, which cost thousands and thousands of British lives. So, I mean, sure, I mean, we're not in exactly the same situation, but there is absolutely no reason for the U.S. not to have a concordat with Russia. And it would help us in many, many ways, including having another intermediary to try and help us extricate ourselves from the Middle East.
Is it too realpolitik for the editorial boards of the various newspapers?
They don't know anything about the world as it is. Okay. And they don't count for anything.
I think that's a yes.
They are irrelevant. I mean, they may have nice printed pages, you know, with NYT on them, but they are absolutely not the power that they used to be. The media is done.
So we bring out the Uncle Joe posters and we go for it. Okay. Okay.
Well, I don't see why not. I mean, Trump has gone way beyond where Winston Churchill and Joseph Stalin never got along, unlike Stalin and FDR, who got along famously. But I mean, the fact that there is an actual working relationship between the emperor in Washington and the emperor in Moskva is a very good thing.
We'll turn to a consideration of democracy next. It's much in the news. Vladimir Putin is not a man who represents democracy. And according to American observers, President Trump is not a man who recognizes democracy. And we will discuss. This is Germanicus and Gaius in Londinium. We've enjoyed ourselves with analogies of the present condition. Eurasian wars are tumbling. Is this a predicate for a larger war? We've got a larger war. Question is, what is the American place in it or in settling some of it? When we come back, we'll ask the question about this demonstration over these last days called, bluntly, No Kings. This is the Friends of History Debating Society on a beautiful spring evening by the Thames. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.